This morning, we're going to talk about God's presence in prayer, through prayer. Now, God's presence has been something that has been a desire of people all the way since the beginning. And it was a wonderful thing in the beginning. And it was something that every day was shared in the beginning. So, let's see. Let's go back into Genesis. We will look at Genesis chapter 3. Verses 8 through 10. It says, "Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day." Now this was something that Adam and Eve did with God on a daily basis. Wouldn't that be a wonderful way to spend your afternoons in the cool part of the day? Just walking in a beautiful utopian garden, perfect in every way, walking through the little trails of this garden with the God of the universe, hand in hand in hand. But because of what had happened earlier in the chapter, Chapter 3, where the serpent tempted both Adam and Eve, and they fell into the temptation and sinned. The rest of verse 8 says, "And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden." And I notice how wonderful God is here. He's not condemning, he doesn't pull a power trip here. He just says, "But the Lord called to the man." He knew where they were. After all, he's the God of the universe. He knows everything. He can see everything. But he gives a chance right here, and this phrase is the first chance, the first reaching out of God to man for redemption. Where are you? Where are you? Not you dirty, filthy, sinful pieces of junk. What have you done to my beautiful creation? He doesn't say that. He just says, "Where are you?" My beautiful children, where have you gone? Why are you hiding from me? And Adam answered and he said, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And then God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from that tree I told you not to?" That right there is the first instance of man, woman, and God dwelling in the presence of one another, in communion with one another. That's not the first instance, but the walks in the garden. And that is the first instance right there recorded of that communion being destroyed because of sin. It being disrupted. God always intended for there to be a relationship between humanity and Him,
where there could be just open sharing, openness, communication on a level that was not talking up to and talking down to, but right here, where we saw eye to eye with him. That's why he came down and walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He didn't want Adam and Eve to see him as someone to be scared to the wits of. He wanted them to see him as someone to love and honor and cherish and to respect, yes, but someone who was just a beautiful, beautiful God. And in this you see his beauty, because he doesn't come down on him with a hammer. He comes down on him with a hug. And says, you know what, there's going to be some repercussions for what you've done, but you know what, I still love you. Because now the plan of salvation goes into play. You're not lost forever. Sin is here. But because of this sin, there are going to be some changes. Now you're going to have to labor. Eve, now you're going to have to go into labor. But that's just one of the instances of the presence of the Lord. See, prayer is just communication, communion with God. That's what it is. We see it as talking basically to a God that we can't necessarily see. Back then, it was talking to a God they could see. Sometimes it's good to focus or fixate in your mind just a picture of what you may think God to be, if that helps you with praying. Your picture is probably 100% wrong, but if it helps you to pray by focusing on something or someone, don't idolize that. Picture the cross. Well, right there. Picture the picture of Jesus. If it helps you to pray by concentrating on something like that, don't start worshiping the cross. Don't start worshiping the picture. Worship the actual thing that the picture was designed to make you think of. Jesus himself, God himself. So, I want to go into a little bit of thinking a little bit more about what God's presence through prayer can be. When we open up the communication line, God's presence becomes more real, more realistic. God is with us. We're Christians. God's presence dwells within us through his Holy Spirit. So we have the presence of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, with us all the time. We don't have to invite him to be with us. He is with us at all times, if we are Christians. Now, we may need to invite him to work in certain situations, because that means we are surrendering control of something. We may need to invite him to be a part of today, because we may have started out today going at it with our mindset and not his mindset. We may need to ask him to work in a situation because we may be the one who is trying to control the situation. With that all said and understood, Psalm 16, David writes of the joys of a life lived in companionship with God. And these are not just joys that we can have in heaven, but joys that we can have now, he talks about. I'll read them for you. The main verse in this is verse 11. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. It begins, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. I said to the Lord, you are my God, my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. I will not pour out their libations in blood or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure because you will not abandon me to the grave. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Notice, this is a psalm that speaks of not just prayer time, but a life that is dedicated to a mindset that is continually in communion with God. David starts out, keep me safe, O God, for I take refuge in you. I live my life in you. Not one of my days is spent that I do not surround myself with you. Then he moves on and he says, I said to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. Every day, I acknowledge to God that because of him, I have what I have. And without him, I would have nothing. I would be nothing. I am nothing. As for the saints who are in the land, they are the glorious ones in whom is all my delight. I love to spend time with your people, God, because they delight my heart. To be with the people who are your people is my desire. Because they lift me up, they encourage me, they edify me. The sorrows of those will increase who run after other gods. God, I've seen what it's like on the other side. I know what it's like. And that leads to destruction. They will never find happiness. In your presence is only true happiness. I've been there, I've tried that, it's not the way to be. And actually, I pray that they would find the way to you too. I will not pour out their libation of blood or take up their names on my lips. I don't wish any harm to them. I won't go after them with vengeance. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. You have given me the direction in my life that I've gone. You have given me the needs of my life. Everything that has been in my life has been your will and not mine. Every time I have strayed from your will, I have had trouble, heartache, pain. And every time I have turned back to your will, it has been great. You have made my life secure. Without you, my life is a heap of a mess. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. Lord, you've shown me where I shouldn't go. You've shown me where I shouldn't stray to. And I've messed up, yes. But within the boundaries of the life that you have shown me, I need to live within, is a good life, is a wonderful life. And from outside of those boundary lines is a terrible life. I don't know why I ever strayed out there. What was I ever seeing in that? Why was I ever trying to go out there? Whatever drew me outside of your will. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. God, you speak to me. You tell me what I need to do. You direct me. You guide me better than any one of my advisors could. Even in my dreams, you speak to me. And you tell me where I need to be and what I need to do. I have set the Lord always before me because he is my right hand. I will not be shaken. He is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I have set the Lord always before me. God, you are my goal. I strive to be more like you. I am a man after your own heart. And because of that, nothing can ever discourage me from my goal. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. I have the joy of the Lord. Within me springs up a wellspring of life, of joy. And I sing praises. I sing psalms all the time to your love and to your joy and to your loving kindness. My body also will rest secure. I rest my body in your hands, Lord, and what better place for it to be than in the hands of its Creator? Because you will not abandon me to the grave. Lord, I know where I'm going when I die. It's to you. And that's my desire. Nor will you let your Holy One see decay. I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever with you. This is but a shell. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Lord, you've shown me the path of life through my errors, through your instruction, through many things. You fill me with joy in your presence. Every time I am in your presence, every day of my life is wonderful. Sure, I have troubles. Sure, I have hardships. But they're a lot easier to handle when I'm living with you. With eternal pleasures at your right hand. Lord, I don't see things for the temporal things anymore. The things that go on here in this world are temporary. I look at things for the eternal significance of them. Things that hold eternal weight, not temporal gain or temporal loss. That's why I have a new mindset, because of the way you've helped me to see things again. Living in the presence of God, or God's presence through prayer, helps you to see things totally different, as Paul put it, having a renewing of the mind, so that we no longer see things as the world sees them, or for their temporary significance or insignificance, or temporary gain or loss. We start seeing things for their eternal weight or their eternal gain. We start to pray for things in that type of weight or gravity, instead of, I just pray that this would happen because I see the temporary gain in that. No, I pray for such and such a soul. I don't just pray for their health. I pray for their salvation. Because if they find salvation, then they'll have all the health they need. That's one of the things that I learned a long time ago, which isn't very long. For some of you, you may say, well, that's just a September ago for me. But a long time ago, when we were working with the homeless shelter in Des Moines at Vinard, we had a crew that would go out there and volunteer once a month, and started thinking, well, yeah, we're giving them all this food and things, but what's being done to give them the salvation that they need? We can fill them up with all the food we want. We can give them all the clothes they need. But is anyone doing anything to present the gospel to them on a regular basis? Because if they're not, then you know what? Everything that we feed them, every piece of clothing that we put on their back is in vain. All that stuff is for aught. Because we're supposed to be ministers of the gospel, not ministers of the food pantry. Sure, we're doing it in the name of Christ, but when did the food get passed out to the 5,000? After Jesus was done preaching. He didn't say, oh, let's feed them, and then they will understand that I love them. No, he said, let them hear me and they'll stay around. Then they'll really stay around because it's their desire to learn what it means to have eternal significance. And if they stay around then we'll feed them. If they're just here to get a quick food fix, then you know what? They're not here for the right reasons and we're just wasting our time. They can go down to the next one down the street then. That sounds hard and harsh. But are we doing it just to feed people, or are we doing it to feed people the gospel? Because if we're doing it just to feed people, then don't do it in the name of Christ. Do it in the name of Joe Schmo. Because Jesus would never do it without giving them the gospel first. Every time he went into a tax collector's house, what did he sit down and talk about? He talked about the significance of life and the significance of sin. And they went from there, changed people. He didn't just go sit down and have a good time. Because in the presence of the Lord, people are changed. They become something different than they were. You can't help but change when you're in the presence of the Lord. And it's not a change that you're, oh, it's Jesus. No, it's just like, wow, this guy has something about him that I want. There's something about him. Can you tell me more? You know what? That hunger, that doesn't mean anything. It wasn't until after Jesus stopped preaching that they realized they were hungry. They didn't even realize they were hungry until after Jesus stopped talking. Because they were so enthralled by the message that Jesus was giving them. Because in the presence of the Lord, nothing else matters. Everything else takes a back seat. And that's the way it should be even in our prayer life. When we're in the presence of the Lord, everything else, all the things that are trying to get our attention, trying to vie for our time, should take the back seat. And yes, that means everything that's on your mind that you think should be an important thing that you're praying about should be out of your mind, because your prayers should be directed by God. God will lead you to pray for what you need to be praying for. You shouldn't be going to Him with a list. Your list should be coming from Him. Does that make sense to you? You shouldn't have a prayer list that you go to God with. You should be sitting there praying, and then as the Holy Spirit leads you to pray, this list should be coming from Him. You know, that guy that you met last week, he could really use your prayers right now. You don't know what he needs, but I do. I just want you to be in prayer for him. It's not wrong to pray for people you have on a list and everything, but the entering into God's presence is going to change the dynamic of your prayer. It's going to make things a lot different than just going to him with a shopping list. Praise you, Lord, for all you are. I thank you, Lord. Lord, you are so beautiful. I'll take 2 cups of sugar, a cup of flour, 2 teaspoons of salt, and a cup of milk. Amen. That's what our prayers sound like sometimes. They're not coming from our heart. And who dwells in our heart? The Holy Spirit. If our prayers are coming from our heart, they should be Holy Spirit led and directed. That means all of a sudden you're starting to pray for things you never knew you knew about. So, does the presence of the Lord change who we are? Sure, better. 1 Thessalonians 3:8 says, "For now we really live, since you are standing firm in the Lord." Paul talking to the church at Thessalonica. "How can we thank God enough for you? In return for all the joy we have in the presence of our God because of you. Night and day we pray most earnestly that we may see you again and supply what is lacking in your faith." All the joy in the Lord we have in the presence of our God because of you. Why? Because they were praying for him, not because of anything more than the Holy Spirit directing them that Paul needed the prayers. And it was something that he needed supplied to them, to him, that they could supply financially, moral support. When Paul was imprisoned, he needed a lot of things. And these small churches that had just sprung up all around the Mediterranean there were the ones that were supporting him, the ones that kept him going, kept his faith strong. They kept sending him encouragement through people, through prayer, through funds. It was because they were in the presence of the Lord. They were praying in the presence of the Lord. And Paul daily was living in the presence of the Lord. He wasn't living in the presence of the jailers. So as David said in his psalm, living in the presence of the Lord will change the way we see life, period. It'll totally change. As Paul said, we'll have a totally new mindset because we are a new creation, number one, and our way of thinking will totally change. So as we pray in the presence of the Lord, we're going to pray for things we never really even knew about, maybe. Number two, they're going to take a different direction than we might have thought. And number three, they're going to take on a whole different significance because they're bathed in the Holy Spirit as they go up. They're not just our words. So, God's presence through prayer. We know that we have the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us, living in our heart. And the Bible also tells us that the Son sits at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. So our prayers, think of this now. We pray from our heart, which is guided and directed by the Holy Spirit, goes up to heaven, hits the right hand of the Father, which is Christ Jesus, goes through Christ Jesus to the Father. We got the Trinity praying for our needs. It's not just one or two of the Trinity that is involved in our prayers. The whole package is involved in our prayers. Does that change your mindset about prayer a little bit? It did mine when I thought of that. It's not just we pray to Jesus and Jesus goes to the Father with our prayers and our needs. The Holy Spirit is praying in our heart and praying for us. I mean, we know the one scripture that says the Holy Spirit interprets the mumblings and groanings in all of our heart, but every single one of our prayers should be guided and directed by the Holy Spirit who's living in our heart. So if that's the way it is all the time, every single one of our prayers is a Trinity prayer. Makes a big difference when we see it that way.